All right, so what we're doing, and we've been away for a little bit, but hopefully you've been practicing, is really probably the most important thing. We're trying to tap into Menuchat HaNefesh. Menuchas HaNefesh. Which means inner calm, well-being, full, holistic, wholesome well-being, calm. Most people aren't living their lives from a place of calm. We're involved, you know, which is good as well, by the way. Calm doesn't mean that you're disengaged. Calm means you're engaged, but from a place of centeredness. That you're not reacting. You're being proactive. You're not just treading water and struggling to survive and your own thoughts and your emotions and what other people are saying to you and your goals and your aspirations and your stuff. We're all dealing with so much stuff. Now, I'm into avoda, believe me. Get up like a lion and put on your tefillin and that. I would like that. That's very important. But there's a foundation. There's a foundation to everything, which is Menuchat HaNefesh. Which really means to be living from a deeper place within yourself. I'm just a little bit... you basically have this force field kind of protection. I'm not being controlled by your energy. It's very important, by the way, in martial arts. I did lots of Tai Chi and Qigong, which are slow martial arts, internal martial arts. And people are like, it's not very good in a fight, but it is a good in an underwater fight. But it's very good in, there are Tai Chi world championships of martial arts, immense power. My master said, could push you, one inch punch. There's immense power. So if you're living from a deeper place within yourself, you're not just being thrown around by energies, and we've got so much pushing at us all the time, and notifications, and insults, and news reports, and jealousy, especially with social media nowadays. Who's doing that? That guy's doing well, and they got the job, and look at me, all this stuff. So most people are living a very, very superficial existence. We want to live from a deeper place within ourselves. Now, one of the keys to understanding what this is that the deeper you go within yourself, the more simple it is. Just simple. Not simple as in naive, but not so complex. People are very over-analytical and complex and double-guessing and second-guessing and analyzing. Many people book one-on-one meetings with me. And they sit down and they say, I've got like 5 hours of stuff to talk to you. I've got 15 questions. They ask the first question. They think that's going to be 10 like, hours. And I'm like, just do this. And they're like, that makes sense. And we basically go through the list in about 4 minutes. And they're like, oh, okay. And I'm not belittling what they're saying. I'm just saying once you can simplify, just simplify, find that place of peace within yourself and live from there, things become much easier. Much easier. You actually don't act or think or feel or speak resourcefully when you're living on this complex surface level. So you've got to be able to step back. So then we started talking about some methods of being able to attain this state of being. The main one being hit bodidut. Hit bodidut means being alone. It doesn't mean going and screaming tata in the forest at 3 o'clock in the morning, although that's also nice. You should do that. Nowadays that is what it means, but the original what hit bodidut literally means isolation, being alone. Lihitapoded, to be alone. So just to find time being alone. And we said people find that very difficult. Very difficult. Because when they're alone, they realize they're not alone. They got their mind and their problems and their issues and all their pain and their stuff, and they got stuff. And when we defined being alone in this generation, do you remember? How did I define being alone? Being at least a 3-minute walk away from your phone. In order to get to your phone, it would take, and included in that is that you can't hear it ringing. If you put your phone on the loudest ring and you can't hear it, that means you're almost, that's copying a land in this generation. I was reading my children a story last night, stories of the tzaddikim, and my phone started ringing downstairs, and my son was like, "That," I was like, "Okay, what? I'm not a dog. My phone's ringing. Who's the master here? My phone's the master. That thing's going to ring and I'm going to jump up and get it." There's something called urgent and something called important. Urgent means it has to be dealt with right now. If you don't answer that phone, you're going to miss the call. It's urgent. But if it's not important, then let it be missed. You know what's really important? Reading my children's stories. So that was the best lesson for my kids. And I just was like, I don't need to get that. As soon as they were asleep, I ran downstairs like, "Who's it?" I did. So we said hitbadidus, to be alone. Now we said there's external hitbadidut, which means literally to be alone. Go and find time to go and sit and be alone. We also said we want to very, very much clarify that being introverted and being extroverted are actually neither of them are healthy. Am I an introvert or an extrovert? I really want to get to know myself. Am I an introvert or an extrovert? The truth is that in general, 90% of extroverts, they're only extroverts because they're afraid of being alone. They're just escaping being alone, so they're so sociable, aren't they? And 90-something percent of introverts are just uncomfortable being around people. So it's not a healthy thing that you're an introvert or an extrovert. There are some who are just, "No, I'm introverted, I'm comfortable being alone." But someone who's a true introvert, comfortable being alone, is also comfortable around people. So you've got to be both. Someone was saying to me the other day, "I'm really going to spend time, I want to get to know myself. Introvert, extrovert, know my nature." I said, "Don't do that. Just choose who you want to be and be that." "No, but I want to know who I am." You choose who you want to be. You're not a slave to who you are. You're not a slave to your nature. Do you choose? What I'm saying is you need to be an extrovert in situations where that's the appropriate and relevant thing to be. You need to be able to go out and speak to people and have self-confidence, not arrogance, and be very comfortable around people. And you need to be able to sit alone. You need to have both. If you're introverted in a situation where it's uncomfortable and inappropriate to be, that's not a good thing. You've got to choose who you want to be in every situation, which means you have to have this deeper place within yourself that doesn't depend on external recognition. What do people think of me? You know, I want to post this. Who's going to say this? And what's going to be this? You hear this? Very important. This is why it's the most important thing you can do. It's the foundation and the basis of all your other work. Menuchat HaNefesh. Then we said there are other methods. For example, calming your senses. You have five senses. You have five gateways into the world. Five gateways to experience the world. Your sight and your smell and your taste and your touch and your hearing. Usually, whatever's been thrown at you, that's what you're consuming. And you're choosing to consume things that you shouldn't. Violence and sex and this music and those films. But they're very exciting. It's not good for your system. It's not good for your system watching that stuff. But some people are living such kind of monotonous lives that they have to pump their system with these sort of things just to feel alive. You know, they're like an adrenaline junkie. So Judaism is very much about you can have peak experiences, but get there slowly. I did the highest bungee jump in the world. It was cool. Yeah. You did it?
No, my brother did.
Ah. It was good. But, so, you'd bungee jump and it was amazing. And people, why do people bungee jump? Because they want to feel alive. Sad that most people only feel alive when they are in a near-death experience. That's what makes people feel alive. So you can feel alive by waking up in the morning. That's pretty good. So we need to calm our senses. They're being bombarded the whole time. We need to calm them. You need to smell flowers. Smell lavender oil. You need to listen to soft music. You need to just bring yourself into a state of calm. Then we spoke a bit about meditation. Different types of meditation. We spoke about hashkata. Hashkata means quietening your mind, from the word sheket. So how do you quieten your mind? Your mind's like a loud radio. It's jumping all over the place. It's all over the place. Your mind. How do you calm your mind down? How do you quieten your mind? By focusing on one thing in the present moment. So usually your breath is the best thing. Your breath. But sound, any of your five senses, if you just focus on one of your five senses, very important. Listening, just breathing, just looking at the blue sky. Take time to look at the blue sky. Very important. Just take time. Then we said there's another one called habata. Habata means to observe, just to watch. Just to watch. Watch what's going on and see on a deeper level. We said, I don't know if you've been practicing any of the things I've been teaching you, but just to walk from your dorm to yeshiva or something and try and look at the world as if it's the first time you've seen it. Just be like, oh wow. Try and notice something new. I noticed I go to the park every day, and I noticed the other day there's a number on a lamppost, 7032. I walked past that lamppost a billion times, and I probably did notice that there were numbers on. It's not important enough for me to know what those numbers are, but I'm now trying to see the world new and see things new in the world all the time. So I noticed that number is there. The things I ride past on my way to work, I'm like, oh, there's that college. Try to see new. And it's not because the number on the lamppost is significant or relevant. It's just the idea of being able to see with new eyes. To look at that picture. You should come into this classroom every day and look at that picture and try and see something new in that picture. Now, once you can start seeing something new, you're seeing the world in a better, newer, more fresh way, then you can start looking at your friends and your wife and your children and eventually yourself. Just look at yourself in the mirror today as if it's the first time you've really seen yourself. And you know what? It will be. But probably the first time you really saw yourself. Saw your face. See something. See, but don't judge. I like that about me. I don't like. Just see. Just see without judging. Very good. So we spoke about all these different types of techniques. Today we're going to talk about the next one. Very, 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 very deep and powerful and sweet. And it's called Hakshava. Hakshava. The root of the word Hakshava is Lahakshiv. What does Lahakshiv mean? Takshiv.
Pay attention.
Or listen. But pay attention. Listen. Listening. The power of listening. Power of listening. Are you a good listener?
Yeah, my friends like to talk to me.
Are you a good listener? Do you really just listen? Now, the truth is, if you don't train, you're not. Very rarely. Very rarely. When you're speaking to people, you're immediately judging what they're saying or comparing, or you want to give them some advice, or you're not really just listening. There's many, many layers of your own perception and self-perception and judgment and stuff going on. About 5 years ago in the new building, I was sitting in the lobby and this girl came in, a seminary girl, and a seminary girl was already in there. They stood up, they're like, hello. And the one girl said, I just got back from Italy. And the other one said, oh, my mum's been to Italy. What? You just wanted to match words? Like, Italy. Oh, my, but she immediately took what she said into your own thing. And I don't know if the conversation carried on like this, but I imagine in my head, she was like, yeah, it was amazing, I had pizza. And she was like, I love pizza, but it's a bit fattening. Yeah, I know, but so we went to the beach. Wow, my brother's on the beach at the moment. You can get that. You get conversation. I've heard So I'm just sad. People are just not talking to each other. They're talking at each other, maybe. I noticed with myself, I'm getting a lot better because I train, but I just want to give people advice the whole time. You start talking to me, I'm already trying to think what advice I can give you. How can I help you? And that's not good. Because you don't really hear them even. You're not even hearing them. You're hearing them through your own perception. There's a marriage therapy, I think it's for anyone, communication called imago therapy, where someone says something and then the other person has to repeat what they said. And often they're like, no, I didn't say that. Maybe I said those words, but I didn't mean that. So lots of marriage difficulties and probably friendship difficulties could actually get sorted out if you actually just said, this is what I heard you say. This is what I heard you say. And the other person might be like, that's not really what, especially if it's a woman or your wife, to be able to be deeply present with someone. Are you deeply present? Now, by the way, seeing as most people are not deeply present in general, you're always thinking about loads of things. When people are talking to you, you're still thinking about what time is my shiur, what do I do? I just had a one-on-one with someone, and he was telling me some stuff that he was going through. So I was listening to him, but I was thinking advice, and my class is at 3 o'clock. And so I've got 10 things going on in my mind while this guy is speaking to me. It means I'm not really there fully. So can you listen from a calm place, from a quiet place? Just listen, truly listen. So this is going to be your practice. This is going to be your practice. What I want you to do, at some point today, you're going to, the person sitting next to you, or you're going to find a chevruta, and one person is going to start talking for 3 minutes. And you can talk about anything you want. I did this, and I want you to watch yourself listening to them. Are you really listening, or are you like judging them? Either judging what they're saying or judging their clothes, or are you even listening to them really? Or are you thinking, well, this is a stupid exercise, I don't want to do this exercise, or what's good? I want you to watch yourself listening. It's kind of doing habata on your hakshava.
But then you're not listening.
What?
You're focusing.
Interesting. So you've got to jump in and out of trying to focus. I'm just going to really be present. I'm not going to reply. I'm not going to advise. I'm not going to jump in. I'm not going to share my experience. I remember when I did that too. I went to Legoland. I went to Legoland in England with my daughter. It was amazing. Wow. I went to Legoland.
I've never been to Legoland. I'm
literally about to say that.
I've never been to Legoland. Yeah, you don't deserve to go. God doesn't let you. If someone says, or you could even try this, it might be the next stage, which is when someone says, I went to Legoland, you say, oh wow, how was it? Just really feed back into them. Make the conversation be all about, do this. By the way, the first practice is get into pairs and practices. The second practice is you're not going to tell people, but you're going to go out for a beer with your mates or whatever you're doing, and just make the whole conversation nothing about you. Don't say anything, but unless they really ask. They're like, you know, how are you doing? But really try and turn it back on them. Really try and hear them, hear what they're saying. Really try and hear what people are saying. You got to try and hear people's emotions and motivations and what are they really saying. Often, they're not saying what they mean, necessarily. They're saying what they think they need to say. Or amazing story. I think it was a brisker rav, a big tzaddik. Basically, just before Pesach, a woman, poor woman, came up to the brisker rav and says, you have to drink 4 cups of wine on Pesach night. And she said, I can't afford wine. Would I be allowed to use 4 cups of milk instead? And he thought about it, which is a mensch, by the way. Rather than saying, of course, blah, blah, blah. There are lots of big tzaddikim stories where people come up and ask them stupid questions that have an easy answer, but they think before they answer it. And they say, ah, why? To make sure that the person doesn't feel embarrassed to come back when they have a real question. Very important. That's a very high level of being. Very high level of being. Oh, I got another story. Remind me to tell you this, to tell the story about Chaim going to the Russian army. Anyway, so the brisker rav, I think it was him, said, you can't use milk. So here's some money. Go and get. what you need for Pesach. So she said, okay, thank you, and she left. And the Chassidim with him were like, why did you give her so much money? Wine doesn't cost that much. And he said, if she was willing to use milk for the 4 cups of wine, it means she doesn't have enough money for meat either. That's big. He heard what was going on. Very big. I've forgotten who he said. If someone calls you up and says, assuming you're in the same town, let's say, and says, I'm going to commit suicide now. I've had enough. What are they saying? They're saying, I need help. I don't want to commit suicide. If they were just going to commit suicide, they'd write a note and then do it. The fact that they called you up to say that means they don't want to. It means, do you understand this? Just to hear a little bit deeper. Story about Chaim. I've forgotten the rabbi as well. In Russia, they used to take yeshiva students and take them to the army, and they'd lose all their Yiddishkeit. And so in one of the yeshivas, there was a guy, Chaim, was being drafted to the Russian army, and it was terrible, and they were saying Tehillim, and they were like, how do we get Chaim? So someone knocked on the Rosh Yeshiva's door, forgotten who it was. And the Rosh Yeshiva opens the door, and the kid goes, did you hear the amazing news? And the Rosh Yeshiva says, no, what happened? Chaim doesn't have to go to the army. It's an amazing miracle. And the Rosh Yeshiva was like, that's unbelievable, Baruch Hashem. All our prayers work. Thank you. So you should be blessed with simcha and to share good news all the time. Thank you so much. That kid leaves. 10 minutes later, another boy knocks on the door. The Rosh Yeshiva opens the door. He said, yes. And the guy said, did you hear the good news? And the Rosh Yeshiva said, no. What happened? And the guy said, Chaim doesn't have to go to the army. And the Rosh Yeshiva was like, unbelievable. Oh, thank you so much for telling me that. That's amazing. Well, you should be blessed. And shidduch and nachas and simcha and mezuzahs and everything. Oh, thank you. Apparently, I don't know how many, but there were 8 or 9 boys that went in. And they only discovered later when they were sitting at lunch or whatever, and they said, I told the Rosh Yeshiva, they discovered it. Each one, he gave them that moment. Oh, so sweet. So next time someone said to you, did you hear about this? Maybe just say to them, no. Even if, but we got big egos, so we want to say, yeah, I did. I already know. Don't do that. Be like, give them that space. It's very, a tzaddik is very subtle. It's very sweet. Yeah?
I just have a quick question. I made this mistake earlier with this woman that I like,
Yeah, that's the mistake already. You're in a shiva now. That's already a mistake.
No, well, I wanted to listen. I wasn't listening.
Okay.
How do I fix it?
You don't. You're in a shiva now. It's not. You're not ready.
Okay.
You ask me when you're ready to speak to women.
Okay. Well, I was. What
about it? God made you mess it up because you're not ready.
Okay.
We'll talk later then.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you know when you're...
I was actually listening to you. Actually, no, I wasn't. That was the worst listening to you anyone ever. But I did that just to demonstrate what bad listening is.
Huh? How do you know when you're actually paying attention?
Good. How do you know when you're actually paying attention? When you're listening from a place of calm. When you're calm.
Mm.
When you're just really there. Where you're really hearing them. And there's no judgment and comments and I need to say this and just... That's the whole point. We actually want to use listening to other people as a tool for creating calmness within ourselves. And then from a place of calmness, we can truly be there. We can listen. Now, by the way, you know for yourself in your life, it's much easier to listen to people when you are calm. You can pay more attention. Let's say your friend is late on Thursday night after Mishmar, and your friend says, you know what, can we talk? And he shares something with you. You can be very, very present with that person. And you can really hear them. But what if it's Friday before Shabbos and you have to go to Hanov for Shabbos and you've got to get on the bus, you're rushed, you're packing, and he says, can I talk? And you say, yeah, go on, tell me, but you're really packing. You're only giving him 10% of your attention. Now, that might be enough for now, but you can kind of start gauging what percentage of my attention am I even giving to this person? What percentage? And then you can just try and give them. Now there's a higher level, the Rebbe says, to be able to try and listen fully even when you're not calm. Very hard, very great though. Friday, getting ready for Shabbos, and the kids really need that to really be able to maybe stop and just be, even for some moments, as much as you can, even when you're not calm, to really try and be there for someone else. Now, hopefully, you're going to get a stage where you're never really not calm. You might be rushing for the bus and this idea, but you're still kind of chilled about it. You're like, but not in a, you're just vegging out chilled way, but just you're living from a deeper place within yourself. So then you can really hear people, you can really hear what's going on around you. So this is our tool for today, Hakshava, listen. And practice it all the time now. Notice. Stop whilst you're in the middle of speaking to someone and say, wow, am I really listening to this person? Do I really hear them? Do I know their emotions and their motivations? And do I care? It's very sweet. And once again, this is practice that's just throughout the day. When with your chavrusa. No! Abaya says it! Well, hold on, wait. Just listen to what he's saying, man. We're kidding each other. That's not a chavruta. I mean, people don't like learning with me because I'm just like, okay, let's talk about it. I had a chavruta, he used to get freaked out. He's like, and I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. All right. Or, you know what? I really hear what you're saying. I just see it differently. But then I had to ask myself, did I really hear what he's saying? Or just did my big ego want to show him how calm I was in it? It goes deeper and deeper. You gotta pull through all your layers and really start understanding, self-understanding. So we're going to talk about this next thing, about hakshava of yourself. Listening, really listening deeply to yourself. Beis Hashem. Questions?